Hey guys, Dr. Ray Heinisch here. I'd like to welcome you once again to the Cut the Fat Podcast. Learn more about us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook at, just go to Facebook and search Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word, and you can ask questions on there. That's actually the best way to reach us. Blythe Ahlberg is always on there answering people's questions. Unfortunately, because she now lives in Florida, it's hard to get her in here to do a podcast. But hopefully she'll be coming in the very near future to do a few more podcasts with us and help you guys along your journey. Okay, today I have a very interesting story for you. On December 25th, 2010... New Jersey woman Donna Simpson sat down on a steel-reinforced chair, I'm not kidding you, to a 30,000-calorie meal on her way to her goal weight of 1,000 pounds. Now, to be clear, she was not working to decrease her weight to 1,000 pounds from some higher number. She's actually attempting to gain enough weight to grace the pages of the Guinness Book of World Record as the fattest woman in the world. Now, the meal was pretty amazing. She started off with two 25-pound turkeys and two maple-glazed hams, followed by 15 pounds of potatoes, five loaves of bread, five gut-filling pounds of stuffing, four pints of creamy gravy, four pints of cranberry dressing, and 20 pounds of vegetables. Well, I mean, at least we can say she got her vegetables. But she wasn't done. To top it off, she basically had a dessert made of marshmallow, cream cheese, whipped cream, and then cookies. So the most amazing part of the story isn't the fact that Donna wants to be the fattest woman in the world, nor is it the fact that she was able to fit 30,000 calories worth of food into her stomach. The most amazing part of this story is the fact that she insists that she is healthy. Now, that kind of begs the question, how exactly does she define health? I mean, that's a really good question to ask yourself as well. How do you define health? Pretty much the only way that she could rationalize her current state of health as quote-unquote healthy is if she defined health as long as I'm still breathing. And some people do define health that way. As long as I'm still breathing, I would consider myself healthy. But I assure you that even though she continues to breathe, underneath it all, physically and figuratively as well, there isn't an ounce of health in this woman. Now, the truth is, the Grim Reaper is speeding at her direction on a bullet train from heaven. You know, he's in transit, he just hasn't arrived yet. So, anyway, I don't want to tell this story to pick on Donna. I tell the story for your good, so that we can pick out the nuggets of learning from Donna's situation. So you may be asking, what in the world could we learn from a woman who's trying to gain fat rather than lose fat? And it's a good question. It's a fair question. But I assure you there is a seed of benefit to you from Donna's story. All right. So let me go ahead and go through a few points that I've noted. Lesson number one, we aren't human beings. We are human machines. Now, my point in making this statement is not to kind of get into a philosophical discussion about free will and the soul, but to make the point that our bodies are hardware and our minds are software. For the most part, we're like robots walking this earth running the same programs every day. And this is proven by the fact that scientists have estimated that about 80% of the thoughts that we had today, we had yesterday. Now, the default program that makes us, that kind of makes up our operating system is basically move towards pleasure and move away from pain. You know, everything we do in the interest of our lives is basically to follow that prime directive, move away from pain and towards pleasure. You know, we get up in the morning, we put on clothes because walking around naked would just cause so much emotional pain to us as people would point, they'd laugh at us, they'd ridicule, they'd even arrest us for walking around naked, right? So we put clothes on because it's too painful to walk around without clothes. You know, women spend sometimes 1 or 2 hours a day putting makeup on because it brings pleasure to know that, you know, they're going to go to work looking good. And it also, you know, it makes them feel like they're not going to feel pain from people, you know, talking about them behind their back, saying things like, oh, she looks horrible or she looks sickly. You know, we gravitate towards cake and candy because, well, the fact of the matter is it brings pleasure and takes us out of emotional pain. It's been proven that sugar and carbs cause our body to release endorphins, which is basically a natural form of morphine to our bodies. And that makes us feel great while killing our pain, both physical and emotional. I'd like to point that out. You know, make no mistake about it. For the most part, we are human machines running the same prime program every single day. And once again, that program is seek out pleasure and run like hell away from pain. I mean, that's the main program that we're running. And really think about that. If you don't believe it, just really sit back and think about it. Try to find something that you do on a regular basis and ask yourself, how does it bring pleasure? Or how does it get me out of pain? Or in some cases, how does it bring pleasure and get me out of pain simultaneously? Those are the things that we really got to look for, because those things are the things that we will do on a daily basis, rain, snow, or shine. Okay, so let's go on to the second point, the second lesson here. We gain pleasure by fulfilling our six human needs. I think I might have talked about this on past podcasts, but once again, the prime directive is to seek out pleasure and to avoid pain. But our transport pod to that magical land of pleasure is basically the six human needs. The six human needs are as follows. Certainty is the first one. Uncertainty, believe it or not, is the second one. That's a human need. Love and connection, that counts as one. Significance, growth, and contribution. Now, there are a few very important points to remember about the six human needs. Okay, number one, these are needs, they're not wants. We need each one of these needs to be met before we allow ourselves to really feel happy. The need that people get hung up on is that need for uncertainty, right? You may be thinking that uncertainty freaks you out. Like, you don't need uncertainty in your life. You only really need certainty. But I would counter that by saying that not only do you need uncertainty in your life as much as you need certainty, but in many cases, uncertainty may be even more important. You know, Anthony Robbins once made the statement, most people believe that certainty determines quality of life. But the truth is, uncertainty is what determines the quality of your life. Why? Because another word for uncertainty is variety. And variety is the spice of life. Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two, something that meets my need may not meet your need. For example, knitting a hat for someone may make a grandmother feel like she's contributing to the life of that person, a grandchild, for example. But for me, knitting a hat would feel like a total waste of time. You know, neither one of those kind of opinions is wrong. It's just the associations that we make to the activity. All right, so point number three, something that meets a particular need for me may actually meet a totally different need for somebody else. For example, roller coasters may mean total certainty to one person because they're certain that they're going to get a thrill from that. Whereas to another person, it may mean total uncertainty. And that may actually result in feelings of terror rather than thrill. So just keep in mind that if something makes you feel a certain way or meets a certain need of yours, it doesn't necessarily meet the same need for somebody else. All right, point number four. As for love and connection, in the absence of love, we will accept connection as a surrogate. This may be why many people will stay in a relationship that lacks feeling of love, because at least they feel connected. And that's better than not meeting this need at all. You know what I mean? Okay, so let's go on to the final point. A very, very important principle to remember is that if something or someone meets at least three of these needs to a very high degree, it then becomes an addiction. So let's go back to the discussion of Miss Donna here. If what I say is true, then Donna's goal weight or goal to end up weighing 1,000 pounds must meet her needs in some way. So let's start with certainty. Certainty can mean many things to people. It can mean feeling safe and secure. It can mean feeling that you'll always be financially secure. It can mean feeling certain that other needs will be met by, you know, meeting this need or doing this action. This journey that she's taking is not happening in secret, right? I mean, Donna wanted to get this story out. In fact, Donna now makes a living by being fat. She gets paid to make public appearances, and she, get this, she even has a website where people actually pay to watch her eat. So, financial security, financial certainty, check. So, although financial security is one level of certainty gained by this venture that she has going, certainty and security can be found peppered throughout her entire story. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Anyway, this podcast is about you, not her. So I want you to think, how are your unhealthy habits meeting the need of certainty? Let me go through some example questions. Are you certain that you can go from feeling bad to feeling good by eating a donut, a bowl of pasta, or an entire bag of chips? For a lot of you, the answer is, of course, yes. I mean, I know that. I can go out and get, what's my vice? My vice would be chocolate-covered almonds from Trader Joe's. I don't know what it is about those things, but I know that if I eat them or if I eat enough of them, I can go from feeling bad to feeling good almost in an instant. Number two, are you certain that going home and spending 4 hours on the couch watching TV will bring you peace after a busy day's work, especially if there's a lot of drama at work? And the truth is, I can pretty much say with certainty that if I go and hang out on the couch, I am going to feel more peaceful. So I am certain about that. So that habit of going home and laying on the couch brings certainty to your life. Number three, are you certain that you will no longer be bored if you get up from your desk to go grab a candy bar or a soda from the machine? And for a lot of people, that's the case. You know, your work may be boring, and it, you know, all of a sudden your brain starts weighing things. Well, I could continue doing this boring work, or I can get up and go eat a candy bar that I'm certain is going to bring me feelings of joy, at least for the moment. So, you know, these are just a few questions. You can actually make your own questions. I just want you to really think, how are my habits meeting the need of certainty? In some cases, the habits will meet the need to a great extent. In other cases, it will only meet that need to a very low extent. Okay. Let's continue on. And let's talk about uncertainty. So, do you think that Donna is meeting the need of uncertainty through this kind of goal of gaining or becoming 1,000 pounds? And I would say, are you kidding me? Of course it is. She's getting paid to make public appearances on stages and shows. She gains variety by eating anything that she wants, you know? She probably gets tons of mail from strange fans, presents, and probably even money in the mail. The mail is probably like opening a Cracker Jack box. You know, what's the prize going to be this time? You know, she's being interviewed all the time. I mean, variety for this woman, based on this story, is all over the place. So she definitely meets the need of uncertainty and variety. So you've got to ask the question, how are your unhealthy habits meeting your need for uncertainty and variety? Now, the most common way that this happens in most people's lives is variety through food. Many people love to eat because each meal or even each bite can add variety to their lives. In fact, a lot of chefs will make a dish based on how many different flavors and textures they can fit into that one dish, that one food. So you've got to kind of ask the question, you know, after that same boring day at work, do you go home and make a big dinner full of fantastic flavors and plenty of carbs and fat just to get that instant variety? That could be the case as well. You know, eating out at a restaurant with friends, that brings variety and uncertainty as well, doesn't it? That's why we like to go and do that. So how are your unhealthy habits, or the habits that work against your weight loss goals, how are you meeting the need of uncertainty? That's the question. Okay, so onward to love and connection. Certainly, she must not be gaining feelings of love and connections from getting fat. I mean, most people can't even fathom this. But guess what? You'd be wrong again. She actually tells reporters that one day she happened upon a website that celebrated obese women. And after posting her actual weight, she started getting emails and presents from men who admired her and loved her because she was overweight. In fact, she married a steakhouse chef at the age of 19 who loved when she gained weight. So, love and connection? Check. Double check. It should be noted that many of us also find love and connection in eating and sometimes being overweight. For many, eating is a social activity, and in some cases we believe that if we lose weight, our friends may actually leave us because they may no longer feel comfortable around the new spelt you. You know, for some spouses, I have actually seen this a number of times. For some spouses, they fear that if their spouse succeeds at losing weight, they may leave them for a thinner, more handsome person. So they literally poison their efforts by bringing home Kentucky Fried Chicken or trying to get them to stay home rather than go to the gym. There is no doubt about it, folks. We are complicated creatures, and we do many strange things to meet these needs. So do you gain love and connection through unhealthy lifestyles and or excess weight? You got to really ponder this one. It's not always cut and dry. Really think about it. Significance, well, that's a given in her case. I have no idea what she did when she was younger and wasn't the, quote unquote, the woman who was trying to weigh 1,000 pounds. I had no idea who she was, and I probably would have never heard of her if it weren't for this story. Now, millions of people know her name. Why? Because she's fat. Once again, she gets paid for public appearances. And she even has people paying to watch her eat. Let's not forget that she's now officially immortalized as the fattest mommy in the Guinness Book of World Records. And, you know, if she survives the journey, she will also be included in the book as the fattest woman ever recorded in history. You know, needless to say, significance is being met on many levels in this case. So, you know what? It's your turn now. How are your unhealthy habits meeting the need of significance? For example, does being overweight make you feel significant in some strange way? I mean, don't dismiss it. Trust me. It is more common than you would actually think it would be. This is especially a problem for men. I call it the silverback syndrome. You know, among gorillas, silverback is the largest, strongest gorilla in the bunch. Size and strength makes them significant. And in some men, gaining the same kind of feeling of significance from their size, and actually some women gravitate to them and propagate this feeling by feeling secure in their physical girth. So men, especially, ask yourself, does your size give you significance? You know, number two, does going to the gym and surrounding yourself with thinner, more fit people cause you to feel less significant? Remember, we steer away from pain even more than we steer towards pleasure. That's a fascinating kind of characteristic of the human psyche. We will do more to avoid pain than we will to gain pleasure. And it's possible to, rather than doing things to meet the need of significance, we may do things to prevent the significance that we do have from being drawn out or pulled away from us. So does that happen with the gym? Do you avoid the gym because you don't want to be around all those thin, fit people that you deem as more attractive? Okay, so let's get into growth and contribution. And these are considered the spiritual needs. We need to feel like we are growing as human beings. And we need to feel like we're contributing to society as well. Aside from the obvious, Donna does actually meet the need of growth through her story. She tells reporters of how she was unhappy when she was trying to lose weight and how she was on the verge of having to have gastric bypass surgery. She had the appointment all set up. But then a friend of hers died during a similar procedure, and she felt that her friend's death was a quote-unquote sign. She found then that, again, I quote, "I like being the way that I am." That's what she discovered. And that was the moment of acceptance and growth for her. In reality, it was a realization that her needs are being met by her current actions, and the surgery would somehow short-circuit the conduit by which she meets those needs. But nonetheless, she took it to be her woe-to-win story from which she built the foundation of her business of being fat. That, in her eyes, was growth from not loving herself to basically loving herself. I feel that if she lives long enough, she will one day realize that, in fact, what she saw as quote-unquote loving herself was actually a mirage that had her traveling in the wrong direction the whole time, or actually in the opposite direction of self-love. So, how do you find growth in your unhealthy habits? Do you find growth in becoming skilled in the culinary arts? A lot of chefs, you've heard the phrase, don't trust a skinny chef. Well, when we like cooking, we gain growth by eating different foods and trying different flavors. Do you find growth by reading diet books? Some people just love to read diet books because it mentally stimulates them. I happen to be one of those people. Number three, do you grow in your relationships by eating socially? That's also a way you can meet this need. Do you grow by going to business parties and networking events and eating lots of food and drinking lots of alcohol? Some people do that. All right, so just really think about this. All right, so let's go to contribution. Now, from what I can tell, Donna believes that she is contributing to the world by bringing the message to the world that, you know what, it's okay to be obese as long as you love yourself. It appears that she feels like a champion for overweight people everywhere by screaming at the top of her lungs, it's okay to be fat. She even goes on to say, I love eating and people love watching me eat. It makes people happy and I'm not harming anyone. So you can see how that phrase, it makes people happy, is her believing that what she's doing, or her at least rationalizing that what she's doing is somehow contributing to the world. You know, unfortunately, her message is also a mirage. You see, you can't find self-love by doing things that shorten your life or harm your health. It's kind of an oxymoron of sorts. You can't claim self-love when you sell your own precious life for an interesting story and a page in a book that practically nobody reads. So sadly, Donna, your contribution is a mirage as well. I also have to say that I disagree with her assessment that people are not being harmed, because they are. I feel they are. No doubt her children will be harmed as they grow up believing that health is not a priority. In fact, she's kind of teaching her children the opposite. And certainly there are people out there frustrated with weight loss failures. I mean, who hasn't failed at losing weight at one time or another? Who may look to her story and decide that, you know what? I'm fine just the way that I am. And you know what? It's true. You are lovely just the way that you are. You should feel great about yourself no matter what your weight. You shouldn't feel shame just because your body has accumulated extra biological material that we call fat. But I believe that your external world is a representation of your internal world, no matter what you say out loud to the mirror in the morning. If your home is a mess, your brain is likely messy too. I know this because my home, or at least my living space, is a mess, and I have somewhat of a disorganized brain. If your body's unhealthy, you know what? Your emotions and your brain are likely unhealthy as well. And I know this because I deal with this on a regular basis. I meet people who are looking to lose weight on a daily basis. I can tell you, more times than not, the emotions are unhealthy, and that is at the core of their physical distance from health. So back to you. Do you feel that your unhealthy habits are somehow contributing to the people in your life, or the world as a whole for that matter? You know, women are especially prone towards meeting the need of contribution in such a way that costs them their health. They, you know, it's not common for them to prioritize the needs of others at the expense of their own time and their own health. How many of you listening have this problem. Many more women than men contribute to the people in their lives by nurturing them, right? And nurturing takes time and it takes emotional energy. Both are necessary to really live a healthy life. For those of you who fall into this group, remember, the best thing you can do for your loved ones is to keep breathing. I hope that this sad and, I must say, pretty amazing story of Donna Simpson has helped you to understand a bit more about yourself. Well, you know, when I had brought this story up during my weekly weight loss group, people reacted with scowls on their faces. I mean, one participant said, "Oh my," she said, "that's disgusting. Why would someone do that to themselves?" And this is a common reaction to Donna's story. But the amazing thing is, we all do what Donna's doing. You know, perhaps not to the same exaggerated level, but there is nothing disgusting about her story. Donna is simply a human machine who's trying to meet her own needs. You know, once we understand that, we can start to go introspective. And we'll begin to see how we too do silly things to meet our needs. And then we rationalize them in the same way that Donna does. We just choose basically different ways of transportation to that distant land of perceived pleasure. All right, guys, so I hope you enjoyed this session. I hope you really learned something from it. I hope you, you know, if you can just take home one nugget, if you can just have one aha moment, one moment where you can say, you know what, I am meeting my needs by eating bad food or by partying too much or by not exercising or whatever that may be. If you can just start to recognize it and shine a light on, you know, the reasons for the things that you do, the reasons you do the things you do, then I think, man, you've just made huge, huge leaps towards achieving your weight loss and wellness goals. So enjoy. Don't forget, check us out at www.cutthefatpodcast.com on Facebook. Stop by Facebook. Say hi to Blythe. She's on there answering questions all the time. I'm hopping on there a little bit more and more these days as well. Just search for Cut the Fat Podcast. And, you know, of course, I'm going to leave you with the Grilled Lincolns. Check them out on Facebook. You can also check them out at www.grilledlincolns.com. And we'll see you at the next Cut the Fat Podcast.
Twist of what you know is true. You're in a cloudy hole, shit don't touch you. And you feel a bliss to pop the pus is blue. And all the sticky things that keep me silent are the same things that make your sick world violent. Make you feel your days.